This episode of the Hey Dad Podcast is also brought to you by the internet. The
internet's great. There are so many different conspiracy theories that tell you what's really going on in the world. Also, I found so many great people groups. Incels, pre-cells, count-cells, Craig Council, who was the manager
for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Manager of the Milwaukee Brewers. Also has his own webpage, craigcouncil.com. Go there, find out about his thoughts about bunting against the shift. Spoiler alert, he thinks the shift is BS. He's not wrong. It's not godly the way that a second baseman is over in the third base. Come on. Internet's great. I find out so many great things. Here's the deal. Other day, I want to find out about Egyptians. What do I want to find out?
Just about them.
Egyptians. Tell me about them. What do they eat? How do they feel about cats? Turns out, very highly. Do they think that cameras can steal your soul? No, that's Native Americans. Cameras were not around when Egyptians were around. Side note, Egyptians are still around. I'm talking about ancient Egyptians. So, the internet page for Egyptians. By the way, Egyptians.com. Check it out. Not the Egyptians.com. That is a band. They're cool. Lead singer's name is Mike. Great dude. Hooked me up with some good stuff. But CraigCouncil.com and the internet. Check it out. You're going to love it.
Oh, so that's our sponsor for this week.
The internet.
Thanks, Derek.
So there are Christmas stories that I feel like I can tell on a podcast, and Christmas stories that just kind of exist in non-recorded real life. But I thought about this today, and I think I want this story that happened, I'm saying upwards of 8 to 9 to 10 years ago. I want this story to be recorded because it was the best thing I ever saw in my life. So,
good setup.
Yeah, get ready. Amy's family is Norwegian. Big group of people. Amy has like 60 cousins. Some of them are aunts. Some of them are called uncles. Some of them are just called cousins. Some of them don't even have names, and it's great.
But you know how the Norwegians
some
are.
Some of them are called Olaf.
It's very true. But as the years have gone on, they've all had kids. It's become more of a kid-friendly thing. But years ago, when me and Amy first got married, there were not kids in the family. The youngest person there would be 18, 19. And we were in our mid-20s. And all of Amy's cousins in their mid-20s and bringing their fiancés and whatever. And so instead of like buying stuff for kids and kids open it, we would just all, this family, 40, 50 strong, sit in a big circle and open the one gift that their quote-unquote secret Santa had given to them.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It is, but it made this happen. And but I don't remember. So the form it often took is that you would get two names for you and your significant other. So the women in the family would be like, okay, I have this person and my husband is this person. I'm going to buy things for both these people because my husband is not going to buy a shirt. Because
it'll be way better.
Exactly. So we get the circle, in this big circle, and my aunt, or Amy's aunt, goes to Amy's uncle and says, hey, just so you know, you got Steve this year. And he goes, oh, okay. And Steve he's one of those cousins who just never just did anything. He just kind of like, he just never did anything.
We all have a Steve.
So the way this goes is we sit in a circle, opening presents one by one. I'm so thankful we don't do this anymore. It'd be a nightmare. Now the kids do it. It's cute. But back in the day, it was like, oh, you got me a guitar-shaped ornament. Thank you, you know?
Yeah, while 34 people watch.
And then go, oh, the guitar's in front of me. Yeah. Oh, that looks so good. Hold it up, take a picture. Anyway, so the aunt tells the uncle, whose names I'm going to leave out of this because who knows where this is going to go, but just basically says, hey, you got Steve this year. Steve is not his real name. He goes, got it, great, got it. We sit down in a circle. We get maybe 10, 15 presents deep. This whole thing takes, I'm not kidding, 30 hours long. And we would just.
It's 127 hours.
Every year.
I'm cutting my arm off.
Yeah. Thank you very much. James Franco's there for some reason. Being a really good actor.
I have to wash out my contacts in my mouth.
Christmas in Zion.
We dread it every year. And like I said, man, I'm so glad it's not this way anymore. But they get to Steve. Not his real name. Opens up his gifts. Opens up his gift, and at that moment, that my aunt leans to the uncle and says, I bought him bed sheets. I asked his mom what he needed, and she said bed sheets. He opens up these New York Jets bed sheets. Hold them up.
How old is he?
Probably 50. And I would say, as a joke, I would say 50 and drunk. But you would hear that joke and be like, oh, he's 50 and drunk, like at this party. No, he's 50 and drunk in life at this point. Okay, this dude is living a rough life. I'm glad to say he's better now.
This is a dude, the type of dude who gets bed sheets at 50 from a cousin.
Stoked.
Opens up the bed sheets. No.
No.
Opens up the bed sheets, holds them up, looks at them, and everything grows eerily silent. And there's like the nosy women in the family are like, what'd you get, Steve? What'd you get? Hold it up. What'd you get? Who gave it to you? And he just looks at it and for an uncomfortable amount of time, just processes it and just gets sad.
Oh.
And he goes, turns to the uncle.
His dad?
No.
The person who gave the present. Gave
this present. Okay. And goes, well, what's this?
Oh.
What's?
That is painful.
What's this? And we're just like, and then when we're like, oh, Steve's drunk, so what's going to happen? But we're also like, oh, there are no kids here, so let's
see what happens.
Let's lean into this moment, man. Let's ride this wave. What's this? And Amy's uncle, sweet guy, nice guy, goes, yeah, I got your bed sheets. Hope you like him. Because he just found out 2 minutes ago.
He didn't know.
And then he goes, Steve goes,
Wait, so this uncle in that moment is thinking, A, Steve is mad at me. B, why did my wife buy him bed sheets? And the wife is like, because his mom told me to buy him bed sheets.
You're being very charitable. I don't know if the uncle thought this. I'm sure the uncle just thought, bed sheets, live with it. Let's go. Move on.
Let's go next, Steve, present.
Steve's lip starts trembling, and he goes, did someone tell you?
Did someone tell you what?
Someone told you I crapped the bed?
No! 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 No!
50 Norwegians.
50?
50. 50. 20 of them going, okay, who's next? And just chaos. Because you go, someone goes.
Everyone's opening a present at the same time. The flagger! It's something that's nothing
to do with cracking. And someone else just craps the bed. Just in a panic, just trying to make them feel better.
And I'm sitting there.
Everyone just starts crapping.
I don't know if me and Amy were married. Yeah, we were married at this point. I just go, oh, this rules so hard.
I'm so glad I'm in this family.
I hope in a decade I have a podcast to tell this story because no one's ever going to believe it. And that is the best Christmas thing I've ever seen.
No kidding.
Wow. Well, before we go, Derek, why don't you tell us what we have to look forward to for the next episode of the Hey Dad podcast?
Yeah, for sure. Going to be a great episode. We have famed director James Cameron to talk about the next Avatar sequel, Avatar Honking on Bobo.
I want to see how many episodes in a row we can fit classic rock references into. Yeah.
Also, honking on Bobo.
Also, who on Aerosmith's team decided that honking on Bobo was the best call?
Well, that's all for the Hey Dad podcast. I'm Kevin.
I'm Bobo.
I'm Derek.
I'm Andy.
Love you. Bye.
So we're driving home from soccer practice today. And I'm just trying to be positive and encouraging. And I'm like, hey, Gid, like, great job today. I know that I had to talk to you a couple times at the beginning of practice to help you focus, but I saw you really try and to, like, you know, play your hardest. And I'm always really proud of you when you play your hardest. And he's quiet for a second. And then he goes, Dad, it's hard because I'm so funny. And I love it when other people laugh. And then I was just like, yeah. Gideon, I totally understand.
Hey,
Hey dads and non-dads, welcome to the Hey Dad Podcast. This is a podcast where three brothers...
Hey, that's us!
Hey! And one guy who wishes he was our brother.
Today we have this story for you about cars. American cars. Like most stories about American cars lately, it's more tragedy than comedy. Though there is some comedy in there too. I'm Ira Glass, and this is American Life.
I had no idea where that was going.
Talk about dad stuff.
And sometimes Derek pretends to be Ira Glass.
Sometimes it's a budget version of This American Life. See, we felt like the way dads were portrayed in pop culture didn't really represent us or our friends very well, so we decided to start a podcast, this podcast, the Hey Dad Podcast, to talk about what dad life is really like for us. Today was a day that I look forward to all year,
okay.
Which is the day we decorate our house for Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
And we don't have actually a ton of decorations, and like we don't like buy a lot of decorations, but my kids are, and especially my oldest son, Gideon, is so effusively joyful and happy.
We've talked about before, he is the holiday cheermeister.
He's the holiday cheermeister, and so absolutely. I look forward to it all year, like today, and we're recording it, you know, a couple hours later.
I gotta say, I came over a little bit early, and your kids were freaking jazzed, bouncing off the walls to show me every single decoration you'd put up.
Also, you know, it takes us a while to like edit and mix this, whatever. You guys should know that Kevin decorates his house in April.
So it's fun for a bunch of reasons. It's fun because we're putting on Christmas music, and like the mood always just seems to be perfect. And the kids open the boxes of Christmas decorations like they're opening a whole box of toys. And like every ornament is like, let me show it to you. Let me talk about it. Who made this? Where did it come from? Because most of our ornaments are like janky crap our kids made slash like weird. We have this like little, these little penguin ornaments, which are like a reminder of our first Christmas when we had like no money, but we had this penguin shower curtain and we took the little hooks that go on top of the shower curtain. And those were like half of our ornaments. Like it's just fun and meaningful and silly. And I still found a way to profoundly miss the point.
Oh, okay.
So Derek, you were actually in the living room for the latter half of this.
I saw some of this unfold.
Here is what went down. My 2.5-year-old, she used to do this. My middle son used to do this a lot where he would put a bite in his mouth and he would leave it in his mouth for like 20 minutes.
And this is the thing that kids do, because I was telling you that my daughter, Emmy, did this too. And it is something that most kids do. And it is the most maddening, grossest thing in the world.
I don't know why it's so
infuriating. It's just full chipmunk.
It just bothers me so much.
And they don't talk. And you go,
are they just like letting the saliva break the food down?
Yeah. They're just bored. They don't want to swallow.
Exactly. I think they're just drawing an arbitrary line. Yeah. But I think the reason I was trying to diagnose in my head, the reason why it's so infuriating, is it's this reminder of how little power you have over your kids. Because I'm like, I physically can't make you swallow.
Yeah.
I can't, and it doesn't matter. And I'm trying everything. I took all these things out of her room. I made her go sit on her bed. I took her blanket. I just said, and I'm trying being nice. And I'm sitting down. I'm like, Josie, all you have to do is swallow your food. That's it. Just swallow. Try swallowing right now. And she was doing this thing where she would like move it around in her mouth. And I'm like, she's being weirdly defiant. She's being so stubborn.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting in the living room, like, because I showed up a little bit early, and I'm trying not to, like, inject myself too much in, like, their, like, routine. And Kevin will come out and just give, like, running commentary, like, she got this freaking mouthful of food, and she won't swallow it. And I don't know if I should make a big deal about it, but, like, I'm making a big deal about it. Like, I want her to swallow it. And I'm like, yeah, man, I get it, bro.
Even came out and I said, like, do you ever, like, draw an arbitrary line? And then...
I'm like, almost every day.
And then I'm like, you're, like, halfway into it, and you know it's an arbitrary line, but you're like, I'm holding this freaking line.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lose this pissing contest to my 2-year-old. I'm winning.
I've already established that this is a battle.
And my wife is like very gently and respectfully and kindly and wisely poking her head in. And she'll be like, hey, Kev, can I talk to you for a second? Like even away from Josie, she's like, hey, she never does this. And it's like 7:30. And like, what if we just let her spit it out? Like, who cares? Like, this isn't a thing. She doesn't do this all the time. She's just randomly doing this. Like, are you sure you want to pick this battle? And I was honestly like, yeah, I want to pick this battle. She was like, okay. And it's a thing where, like, she knows she's right. I know she's right. And I'm still just pushing forward.
I gotta say, your level of self-awareness during this whole thing was great, because you said those exact words to me, which was, I know she's right. I'm like, you go, man, do it.
So I'm still going. So finally, I decide that the way I'm gonna like meet her in the middle is I'm gonna get her a glass of water. And I'm like, maybe she'll freaking accidentally swallow the stuff that's in her mouth.
I'll win on a technicality.
Exactly. So I get her, she drinks water, and then she like, almost all of it's out of her mouth. And she looks at me and I go, open your mouth. And she opens her mouth and there's just a little bit of food left. And she's looking at me like, did I do it, Dad? Like, did I do the thing you wanted me to do? And she's like, kind of like emotional and just like at the end of her rope. And so I finally just go, I'm just going to take this out of her mouth. The rest, I'm going to call it a draw, and that'll be good enough. And I reach into her mouth. And what she'd been eating is, we recorded this like a couple weeks after Thanksgiving. We made this pasta out of turkey. She's eating this like turkey. It's called turkey tetrazzini. It's amazing. That's what she's eating. I reach in her mouth and I pull out like a 1 centimeter by 1 centimeter square turkey bone.
Oh no.
And that is why she was not swallowing.
Oh no.
So she has spent 20 minutes like, Dad, I'm not swallowing because something in me knows.
I shouldn't swallow
I should not swallow this thing.
My primal instincts are stronger than my dad's voice right now.
It is encoded in my DNA that I cannot swallow
this. I have to disobey you.
This is a matter of survival. And I felt so terrible. And the worst part of it is that she was so forgiving. I immediately go, Josie, I am so sorry. I did not know you had a bone in your mouth. That is Daddy's fault. And then she just goes, it's okay, Dad, and gives me a hug around my neck. And I'm like, no, it was not worse than that.
Make me crawl.
It's not okay.
Make me choke on a bone.
Make me swallow it. Yeah.
Make your mom leave me.
Guys, I was basically like,
sad.
Like,
that's brutal.
Haranguing my daughter into putting
her
life in danger.
You're bullying your kid into maybe choking to death.
Here's what I respect about you. Is I was sitting with Trisha in the living room, and you came out and admitted it to us. Hey, guys, I feel so bad. She just spat out a turkey bone. And I realized you did that because it would be a laugh, and you were happy about that. But I also recognized a little bit of, like transparency in that. Here's how it goes if this is me. If my kid has a bone in her mouth, and I've been bugging her for the better part of an hour to swallow that bone. And I realized I was the wrong one. And I realized it by myself in a room with that kid.
You're gonna burn that bone.
I'm taking the bone. I'm hiding the bone. I'm probably burying it in the backyard. I'm coming out to my wife and I'm going, hey, well, you know, she realized I was right.
She learned a valuable lesson.
Hey, you know what?
She did it, but don't ask her about it.
Hey, yeah. Hope she doesn't bring it up in therapy 6 years from now. But yeah, no. We took care of it. You know, sometimes you just gotta just dig in and be right. And you know what? I'm glad to say the right side won.
The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards Derek.
The other part that I thought was so indicative of how healthy and sweet and great your marriage is, or maybe just how healthy and sweet and great Trisha is. Let's go with that second one.
Yeah,
is Trisha's reaction. Was very much like, that's what a hard time for both you and Josie. And like, I feel bad for you guys. And I'm glad.
You stupid idiot.
And like, my wife is also.
Daughter eat a bone.
My wife is also a sweet person, but her reaction would have been one of two things. A, you almost made our daughter swallow a bone. What's wrong with you? And B, what's going on with Emmy that she's just eating bones? She could have swallowed that bone. What would have happened? I better get on the internet and find out what happens when your kid swallows a bone.
Another WebMD. Kid turkey bones?
Oh, your kid has turkey cancer. Because that's the only answer that's on WebMD.
Turkey cancer.
So I want to have the magical Christmas decorating evening that I know that like Gideon would provide as holiday cheermeister. David might get there someday, but he's 2. And so a couple nights ago, we busted out all the Christmas decorations and put on some Christmas music. And we're just going to have family time. And man,
David had, not exaggerating, like 16 face down on the floor meltdowns because he does not understand. Like, we set up our little mini fake build-a-tree on the table and the ornaments and everything. And then we just look at the tree. We don't touch it. We don't pull the tree down.
Yeah, but like,
on
he's
top
right.
of ourselves. I know.
He's not wrong.
He's right. I know. He's like, what's more fun? Holding and playing with a thing or friggin' looking at it?
And several of the ornaments.
What a dumb tradition.
Several of the ornaments look like toys. There's like a little old timey, like metal rocket ship. There's a little R2-D2, which he broke.
Yeah, you're still bad.
Yeah, there's he broke the donkey and the sheep from the nativity set within a couple seconds of holding them. Yeah, I just keep thinking this is going to be a moment. This will be cute. No. And so we posted a picture to Instagram of him like looking up at the, you know, tree in the Christmas light glow, and he's got this cute smile on his face.
Yeah.
That was a 15 second moment.
That was a lie.
It was a snapshot.
You happened to catch him in between tantrums.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like 90% of parenting in the holidays is probably some semblance of like negotiating with your inner expectations for how like romantic and idyllic things are gonna be versus just the reality of how things are when you introduce a bunch of tiny little people who don't have the same value.
You're describing parenting as a whole.
I imagine there was something about the holidays being like, I don't know, just extra idyllic, extra nostalgic, extra picturesque, where you kind of like fantasize about it for months or whatever, like, we're gonna have this thing. Like, I imagine it's even more on a pedestal in that regard. Oh, yeah. And then when it comes and isn't, I imagine for certain personalities just being like, I am severely disappointed how this Christmas is going.
So I think that is valid, but I tend to fall on the other side of things, which is there are a lot of things that I miss about not having kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a very real thing of like aspects of my life that were easier, simpler, more fun, whatever, before I had kids. But I think that the holidays are so much better with kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I agree with that.
Like, there are little things, like, I don't get as much quality time with adults, and that's like totally a value in our family.
Maybe you're not roasting chestnuts over an open fire.
Yeah, I haven't roasted chestnuts in years.
These kids are holding me back from my chestnut dreams.
What's Jack Frost doing? What's he nipping on? No?
You're not listening to like Bing Crosby on vinyl for hours on end, sipping cocoa. No.
Yeah, but my contention would be, and I think we're very honest, so this isn't just like rose-colored glasses. There are a lot of things that suck. Holidays, way better as a dad than they were without a dad.
That's
like, you know what's like not that fun? You know what we pretend was fun before we have kids? Making a gingerbread house with your significant other?
No.
That sucks. Yeah.
I don't know. Sarah and I have made some pretty epic gingerbread houses. We made the Star Wars AT-AT, the all-terrain armored transport vehicle. We elevated the gingerbread house and then created some gingerbread legs for the AT-AT walker.
You are also a fantastic nerd.
You have
an above average creative gingerbread.
We did like a zompocalypse, like defending the gingerbread house from a zombie onslaught.
I feel like that's specifically a thing in your marriage where every year you guys are in, you conveniently find yourself in some kind of gingerbread house making contest.
You're like ringers.
That you then win.
How do we put these together?
White men can't jump gingerbread.
You like go to the bathroom and come back to the Taj Mahal.
Mm-hmm. But honestly, like building a gingerbread house with Trisha, it's the kind of thing we did before we had kids where we were like, we would idealize it. Where we're
this
like,
this is a cute Christmassy thing.
Let's be cute couples. But like on the inside, I'm like, this is not that fun.
Yeah, this
making
sucks,
a gingerbread house with my kids is lit.
Yeah.
They are like they are amped at 11 the whole time. They're making it so much fun. Like decorating our house, it was fun before we had kids. It is 10 times as fun now.
This episode is brought to you by a gift from our family to yours, the Hey Dad Playbox.
The Hey Dad Playbox, if you haven't heard this before, we build an experience for dads and kids aged 3 to 6. And every month is a different experience, and it's imaginative and it's fun, and you put your phone down and we think of everything and we test it with a bunch of dads. And it's basically like those magical moments, the memories that you idealize about being a dad, but we package those memories up and we send them to you, and you open the box and beautiful magical moments just flow out of the box.
It's the thing that you look forward to on Christmas morning, where your kid gets to open something and you get to have a shared moment of delight. What if you could do that once a month?
It's like Indiana Jones and the Holy Grail when they open the box, but the opposite of
but
that.
Like a bunch of Nazis don't get melted.
Yeah.
Although, that'd be pretty sick.
100% less Nazi melting. So, it's right before Christmas. If you still haven't gotten anything for a dad in your life, you can go to heydad.com right now. You can click gift it, and you can buy them a month, 2 months, 3 months of the Hey Dad Playbox. And what we will send them on Christmas morning is a video that we recorded that explains exactly what Hey Dad is. And it says, "Hey Dad, someone that loves you just got you something pretty cool." And we explain the whole thing. We're going to deliver it to them. They're going to watch an email, and they're going to feel like I got something really cool. So go to heydad.com, use the code HeyDadPodcast, and you get $10 off and free shipping.
Last minute gift givers, we're trying to make it real easy for you. This rules. You'll love it. It'll make you look good. You should do it.
Heydad.com. Go right now.
It's funny. I think Christmas exposes, for me at least, an inner Grinch that I don't even know. It's weird because, Christmas is rad.
Yeah.
I get it. But there are some, I don't even want to say rituals. Just some things you got to do as, a dad of kids with Christmas stuff that just, you either like it or you don't. And if you don't like it, if you like it, that's cool. But if you don't like it, that should also be cool. And, you know, you guys are talking about, decorating the house for Christmas. That would be fun for you. But for me, other things are funner. I'll put it that way. More fun.
Your heart's an empty hole?
It's three sizes too small.
Okay, all right.
And so,
would you say you really are a heel?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bad banana with, let's say, a greasy black
this
heel.
This guy, charming as a cactus, cuddly as an eel.
How many feet would you say of a pole would I need to touch you with?
Round it up to the nearest half foot.
Yeah.
33 and a half. Anyway, we're living with my in-laws right now because I gambled away my life savings. because we're that joke might not be great. Because we're renovating our house right now. So we're living with our in-laws, and we decided for this specific period of time, we're going to lean into it and be okay with not having our own house for the holiday season. Newsflash, in other maybe areas or circumstances, living with your in-laws might not be great. I'm sorry. Living with in-laws for me, this is the best thing ever because we're living in a house that we legally don't have to clean.
Legally. Would you legally have to clean yours?
law of wife states, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And just also just we have there's just more room and more people to give kids baths and chase them around the house. And on more than one occasion have Amy and I been wait, where are the kids? Oh, they're playing with grandma in the backyard. Sweet.
Let's go to the mall.
Let's pretend we're going to the mall. Let's just drink wine in the backyard and watch them play with our kids. Real rich buttholes, you know? it's been great. But the other day, we were all sitting in the living room. My wife, my two daughters, me, and my mother-in-law, who's a saint. And they're all talking about decorating the house for Christmas. And I completely without, it was almost just a subconscious reaction without thinking, just went, ugh. Because they're talking about what they're going to do. We're going to get the tree out of the shed. They're going to do this. And Atlee is, both our girls are so into Christmas and I love that about them, but they're just can we do crafts? And I'm come on, you can't do a craft for every single day of the year. You
know? Oh, but you can.
But my girls, you can. And it's in their DNA. But there's just this can we do this? And my mother-in-law is of course we can. Ah! And I just go, ugh. And Amy turns to me and goes, "You're not going to have to do any of the decorating.
Like, you're just mad that they're having fun.
Well, I don't know if I thought that maybe just subconsciously with like,
it's gonna be a lot of work.
I bet you I'm gonna have to do some of this crap. But
I bet you I'm gonna have to do some of this crap.
But guys,
the Derek Walker story.
My family, in Latin, that's my family, like, motto.
That's on your family crest.
It's just Derek rolling his eyes in a bathroom.
E pluribus, I bet I'm going to have to do some of this crap.
I had work one night, and I got home, and the house was decorated for Christmas. And everyone was happy, and there were... got golden reindeer and fake snow, and the tree looked great, and there were lights up, and maybe a better person would have been like, oh, they did all this without me, and they're so happy, but I walked in, looked at it, and just went, hell yeah. I don't got to do any of this year. It's the best idea ever.
Christmas came early.
So
it's kind of fun, because you kind of have a dad. Like, you are a dad, but you kind of get to have dad take care of everything.
Yeah, it's like you got to be the kid at your parents' house again, which, great. Like, probably never thought you were going to do.
But rather than getting the gift of, like, Christmas wonder and joy, you get the gift of not having to create Christmas wonder and joy.
You just get to receive it.
Here's how I describe it. And maybe we've talked about this in the podcast of the past, but one of my favorite things to do when we're eating at a restaurant is to order my food, wait...
And then leave immediately and not pay.
Yeah.
I call it Derek and Dashing.
So many have heard about it. I like to go to the bathroom around the time I think the food's going to come back, because the idea of coming back from the bathroom and having the food on the table is such a joy for me.
Okay, I've never done so this, weird. But it's like, real. I am in. I'm going to do this the next time at the restaurant. That sounds amazing.
And Amy, now, it's been years. We've been dating since we were, like, literal toddlers. And so at this point, Amy just knows, like, and she'll say it to the kids, like, oh, your dad's going to the bathroom so you can come back and his food will be ready for. Like, it's kind of a thing.
Will they start eating without you?
I don't care. It's probably, you know, whatever.
Hopefully.
As long as the kids are eating, who cares?
They're sitting there resenting you.
Yeah. You will never know.
No. A 2-year-old is sitting there like, we have to wait till dad gets back and we all eat at the same time.
It's proper. It's what our family does. You will, I guarantee you this, if you haven't tried this, you will not know a joy or a rush as succinct and real as leaving the bathroom, even if you didn't have to go, and walking back to your table and having your food just sitting there for you.
I get it.
So imagine that on a grander scale. That is having a long day at work, coming home, and Christmas is there.
That's a great idea.
Best thing in the world.
I think one of the things that is like one of the central challenges of the holiday is whatever holiday you celebrate, they all sort of involve gifts, at least this time of year.
Right.
And it's, how do I spoil my kid? Because I want to spoil my kid. How do I give them the things that I know they want, even if it's just one cool present? It doesn't have to be 20. Like, in our family, we usually do something you want, something you need, something to wear, something to read. There's like usually like the 4 presents we get our kids. So we don't go crazy, but like part of the fun, and especially for people that have the love language of gifts, is like, I want to like obsess over the perfect gift to get you. And part of my joy is like, I want to see the look on your face when you open this present. Like, that is a big part of mm-hmm. what this holiday experience is. But like, the challenge is, how do we flex those muscles as parents and try to give them everything we want, show them how well we know them and know what they need and know what they want, and not create little Willy Wonka spoiled children. Like,
yeah.
I think that, like,
Veruca, sweetheart, daddy's coming.
Well, it's probably different to each kid, right? Like, I imagine one kid might have a really weird relationship with presents or gifts or stuff, and another kid it might receive it super well and in a cool way. Or
one kid might turn into blueberry. One kid might get stuck in a TV
fall into a chocolate river.
Augusta, save some for later.
One kid might, like, share a bed with all 4 of his grandparents, you know, and talks about how weird it is, you know.